For many of us, this week will mark the return of our children to school. And in light of that, we want to consider the Christian's conviction for Christian education. Next to our love for the Church of Jesus Christ stands our love for Christian homes and the schools organized by and existing as an extension of these Christian homes. We love the Church as the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we love the Christian home and its extension, the Christian school, as the place where the precious seed of the Church is nurtured, where our children are taught to know the Lord and to stand in awe of His mighty works. And we want to ask ourselves the question as another school year begins, why? Why do we have Christian schools, parental schools? We want to see that a Christian school arises out of conviction, not preference. A preference refers to what one chooses for reasons other than deep-seated belief, one that arises out of a mere preference of one over another, and in that sense, a priority. For instance, you may be applying for a job, and you say, "I prefer not to work on Sunday." But when push comes to shove and you are called to come in, and maybe you say, "But I made plans for the day, I prefer not," but if the employer says, "Listen, the job is on the line, come or else," you go in, well, then you had no conviction at all about the Lord's day. You made God's commandment a preference that you would follow if it suited, but not a conviction. A conviction, you see, is founded upon the belief that God has spoken to me in His Word, and therefore a belief which is consistently followed in our life. A biblical conviction is the persuasion of faith that my duty in this matter of my life has been made clear to me in the will of God revealed in Holy Scripture. Christian schools must arise out of conviction. That conviction is this, that it is the calling of the parent to educate their child according to what the parent believes. Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, God's word concerning Abraham, "For I know him that he will instruct or train his children in the commandments of the Lord." The conviction for Christian education is that the parent is called of God to train his child in every area of life, and that the goal of this training is to equip our children to live as children of God to the glory of God in this world. That is the calling of a parent to do that. Christian schools must then not arise merely out of a reactionist movement. The motivation for a Christian school is not simply to get away from that evolution and sex education stuff in the public schools, as people sometimes say. Yes, there are many shameful and false teachings in many schools, but that is not the primary reason or the core of our conviction for Christian education. Nor is the conviction for Christian education a desire to establish a kingdom of Christ, a physical kingdom of Christ, on the earth, to bring dominion, as it is said, to every sphere by Christian education. That's not our motive either. But the conviction out of which a Christian school arises is this. It is the calling of a parent to train their child according to what they believe, so that that child might know how in every area of life how to serve the living God. That is a parental responsibility. Isaiah 38, verse 19, "The fathers to the children shall make known thy truth." This is the distinctive calling of a parent. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7, "These words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." Again, Ephesians 6, verse 4, "Fathers, nurture your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord." It is only this conviction that it is a parental calling to educate one's children. It is only this conviction which can hold the weight of a Christian school. Now, convictions are formed by the Word of God. Convictions are formed by the Word of God being brought to bear upon the heart of the believer. Convictions are not formed by arguments, and they are not formed by straight-armed tactics, and they are not formed by the pressure of a group upon other individuals to conform. No, convictions are sacred. The Holy Spirit brings the Word to bear upon my heart and shows me the way that I must go. Let's look to the Word of God to form our conviction for Christian education. What is it that you really want for your children? What should you want according to the Word of God? Now, of course, there are many things that we want for our children which of themselves are right and proper, and which also rest upon our heart today. I'm not referring simply to carnal things. For instance, a desire that your son be the leading scorer on a basketball team, or your daughter grow up to be beautiful or popular, or that your children grow up to have a beautiful home to live in. These are the desires which would center merely in the eye of men. No, our desires for our children centers in the eye of God. And we have, in that connection, many legitimate desires for them. We have questions. Who are they going to marry? Who will their friends be? Where will they go? With whom? What work will they get? What about their future education in a college? And all of these questions center in this. Where are they going to go to school as children and young people? What education are they going to get? What will be the environment? Will this education equip them? Will it serve them? Or will it be inadequate? And while we reject with all of our souls the attitude that education is only worthwhile if it teaches us how to make a dollar and be successful, we reject that. Nevertheless, we do want an education which will serve our children in today's world to teach them how to be a godly person in this world, a godly husband, a godly wife, a godly parent, to teach them to be responsible, to live in the world as the friend servant of God. We want that for our children. In one word, we want godliness for our children, that they live a godly life. That's the most important thing in the world, that they live godly unto God in this world. That's not a false piety. That's what some people hear, or that's what some people think when they hear of godliness. They think of a mask, of someone who is of no use to present-day situations in which people live, that they have this pious look and they are of no use. No, biblical godliness is what we want, a full-orbed, solid, faith-rooted godliness. In the Scriptures we read, Abraham, Genesis 17, verse 18, expressing this desire for his flesh and blood 13-year-old son, "Oh, that Ishmael might walk before thee." Paul says concerning Timothy, his spiritual son, "This is my desire for you, Timothy. Be not ashamed of the gospel, nor of me its prisoner." Look into the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs turns the heart of a believing parent inside out and tells you what ought to be written in that heart. And what is that desire? "My son, be thou in the fear of God all thy days." And therefore, Proverbs speaks to the son and to the daughter about their companionship, about sexual purity, about greed, about honesty, about industry, about integrity, about a host more subjects. We want our children to be men and women of God, thoroughly equipped, says the Scripture, unto every good work, possessing the comfort and the attractiveness of vital godliness. We want a generation which will be to the honor of God. We want to educate them in such a way that they will be wise to discern, skillful to work, that they will be delivered from folly, immorality, greed, pride, dishonesty, which stalks the youth of the land. And that they be stalwart sons and daughters fair, a nobility of grace in Jesus Christ. In short, we want for our children what lies in the bottom of our own heart by grace, that they might know Jesus Christ and know God and have eternal life in Him. Now, a vital aid in attaining this desire is a good Christian school. What is a good Christian school? Well, a good Christian school has three things about it. It's, first of all, parental. It's one run directly by parents of like-minded faith through a board and by teachers given their mission by those parents. Not a school handed over to supposed experts who secretly believe that parents are ineffective at best in rearing children. Not a school which goes off to draft its own mission statement of purpose, of vision. Not a school in which parents take an antagonistic stance against the teachers, but a parental school. A school which reflects the faith of the parent. A school in which parents have vital involvement of love and covenant fellowship with teachers and children, and in which the teacher stands in the place of the parent, sharing the reformed creedal belief of the parent. So it is, first of all, parental. Secondly, it is doctrinal. The basis of instruction in the Christian school is founded upon the truth of the infallible, inerrant, perfect Word of God. There is no place in the Christian school for the leaven of relativism. Relativism is the forsaking of absolutes in truth, absolutes of God's Word. Relativism is the idea, well, we really can't be sure about anything, you know. It comes off very pious sometimes. It's the idea that an educated person, the enlightened person, is the one who sees that the former absolutes, the former beliefs of bygone eras, aren't really so, and there's really nothing dependable, so what we need to do is learn how to adjust, and so we need to teach our children how to cope, how to adjust as best as they can to the fluctuations of society and to the fact that ultimately there is no solid truth to stand on except that which is right for them so that they can make decisions in harmony with their own feelings. That is abominable before God. That's the leaven of relativism that has infiltrated public education, and with shameful compromise, whenever the authority of the Bible is questioned, it infiltrates into Christian schools. A good Christian school is built upon the word of truth, upon this principle expressed in Romans 3, verse 4, "Let God be true and every man a liar." A good Christian school does not send forth her students upon the sea of life without a chart, with one paddle, in a rubber dinghy, but sets their feet upon solid ground and says to the children, come what may, this is the truth, and it will not change. A good Christian school is parental, it's doctrinal, and it's educational. It provides a well-rounded, academically sound education. A Christian school is not just a school with a Bible class, and everything else that happens in the school is okay until 3:15 when the bell rings, and then we're done. Oh, no, no, no. A biblical school means that the scriptures are applied in every realm of education. We must nurture them, says the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6. That's their mind. I press all things, says Paul, into the service. I bring every thought into captivity to the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. A good Christian school is not simply a school for those who have high IQ. Oh, no, that's not the case either. But the talent given to each child, that talent is first of all prayerfully discerned and then skillfully, zealously, passionately developed according to the guidelines of God's Word. What a glorious thing is a Christian school! And you must never downplay, as a parent, learning. It's the most fascinating thing that God has given to us as children to learn of His wonders in Himself and in His creation and in all things, as all things ultimately reflect the glory of God. This is what we want. A good Christian school, parental, doctrinal, educational, in which our children are trained unto godliness. That's our conviction. That's our conviction because of our commitment to the Scriptures as the inerrant, without error, word of our sovereign God, before whom we delight to bow and whom we delight to serve. This is our conviction because of the truth of the authority, the perspicuity, clarity of Holy Scripture. A good Christian school, and the schools that Christians organize out of conviction, are schools committed to the inerrancy of the Word of God. And we weep when we see in Christianity the subtle and sometimes more and more blatant, proud denials of the inerrancy and infallibility of Holy Scripture. Someday, perhaps, you will go to investigate a school for your child. You will ask, perhaps, where does this school stand in its sports program? What place does it give to sports? You might receive a vague answer. You might receive one that you disagree with. You might ask the question, what about the band here and the music? And what about extracurricular activities? What about college preparation? What about secretarial schools? What about home ec? And you may receive various answers, some that satisfy you, some that may not. But here's the question that you must ask, and you must receive the right answer. Where does this school stand regarding the Holy Scripture and the Reformed biblical faith expressed in the creeds drawn from the Holy Scripture? Does this school and the parents behind it believe that the Scripture is word for word the Word of God who cannot lie and therefore is to be trusted in all of its teachings? And the answer to that is either a yes or a no. For any church or any Christian school or any Christian organization to deny the clarity and authority of the Word of God as God's Word, word for word, is to put the Word Ichabod above their school, their church, or their organization. We cry in love to God and to His cause on earth. Maintain the truth that the Bible is word for word, God's word. There is where your child must be instructed. And in that school, they must be instructed to a godly life, training up the child in the ways of God. This is our conviction for Christian education. May God bless it in the coming year. Those who have the grace and the privilege of such a school, may you not lose your vision, may you not lose your thankfulness, and may you not become complacent concerning this great gift that God has given. In areas and in Christian communities where such a school is not to be found, may you be encouraged by the Word of God to labor faithfully in the love of God, one with each other, for the establishment of such a Christian school. And as we go forth in this school year, may we go forth in confidence as parents and as believers and as children and young people. When we stop to consider the work of Christian education, like all of the other works in God's kingdom, we see that it is awesome, it is serious, it is important, and it is overwhelming. We feel that way as teachers. We feel that way as parents. We feel that way as pastors and elders. We are weak. And the world in its sin is strong. and there seem to be few who are convicted over these things. The commitment and the taxing work of getting everyone together and behind one project and agreed is so very difficult. And we become discouraged, and we become skeptical, and we become bitter. And we say, well, we're spinning our wheels. Oh, no. Oh, no, no. That's not true. A little experience in the work of God will teach you that it's exactly when we feel at an end and that we cannot, it's exactly then that God is delighted to work in us and to give to us. May He give us and preserve to us Christian schools organized out of conviction for Christian education. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy holy word. We pray that Thou wilt bless it unto our hearts. Amen.